Hi, I'm Jeff Davis. Happy holidays. On this podcast, I'm going to focus on the passion of those in the wine industry. Come along, won't you? It's no wonder I've developed such a passion for doing my radio show and this podcast, because most of the people I talk with have a passion about what they do. They speak about their craft eloquently, philosophically, poetically, and often spiritually. I touch upon that in a short video you can find on my website, onthewineroad.com. I started off with this philosophical expression from winemaker Greg LaFollette. It's touching and also offers some sound advice. This was his response when I asked Greg about the relationship he has with the vines.
You know, the vine is an expression of the forces of nature, which are much more powerful than we are as human beings. You know, the voice of the land is the timeless element, the wind, the rocks, the sun, and the rain. And who are we to add even a letter to the speech of the land unless we first become total students and really just listen to what the land has to say? And if we become careful students and really understand what it is the land has to say, then something magical happens. The land kind of reaches out and invites you to commingle its dreams with yours. And the land has dreams. The land has its own vision and speech and dreams. And when you are invited by the land to commingle your own thoughts and dreams with the land, that is immortality.
Excellent. That's quite profound. And you are a true vine whisperer.
Well, listening to vines is a lot like listening to your children or to your wife. If you were to do something really profound or life-changing to your wife without first really getting to understand what it is that she wants, or even asking her outright, and you just go ahead and do it without that, then you're destined to an either unhappy or a short relationship or both. But if you really listen, and it's a really great gal that you're working with, and I'm using this in my sense of my gender, and all the other PC things notwithstanding, then if you understand your partner and you really get it and you act accordingly, then you get rewarded wildly, and you just have a really great life together. And that's Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
There you go, an ideology that is not only beneficial for winemaking and growing, but also for marriages. Greg used to work for his namesake winery, La Follette Wines, but no longer does. Aside from consulting with a handful of wineries, his principal brand is Alchemista Cellars, and he crafts his wine as eloquently as he speaks. You can find it at alchemistacellars.com. That's Alquimista, cellars.com. Alchemista is Spanish for alchemist, which he truly is. When I was talking with Julie Johnson of Tres Sabores Winery on South Whitehall Lane in St. Helena in Napa Valley, one of the most astute things she said to me was this as I was wrapping up the interview.
What other business in the world could be as vertically organized? You know, here you can see the grapes, you can grow the grapes, and you can taste the wine from the same spot, you know. So it's a great pleasure.
So true. Here's the earlier part of that interview where she describes the importance of her organic vineyard and property, just as her dogs were coming up to say hello.
They're friendly greeters.
They're extremely friendly greeters. We get a lot of comments about the dogs and the vineyard, and the vineyard practices, the organic practices, and just why we do it, you know, what the intricacies and what the reason is, the soul and the soil sort of thing. Wow. that some people come here and... Well, before they come and they say, well, how close to the vineyard can we get? You know, as in, is it across a bar and into an asphalt parking lot and then there's the vineyard? And we say, no. And when you're here, you're right on the vineyard. You're right.
Right.
Absolutely here and immersed in the vineyard. So it's a nice experience that way, I think.
And do you use the sheep like they did in the old days, keeping the grass, the cover crop,
yeah,
short?
Absolutely. Did you see them out there? Yeah. I don't have very many at present. I've had as many as 7 at one time, but... they are the proverbial lawnmowers and
fertilizer,
natural depositors, and
right.
We call them the natural deposit team. And in their paddock, then we collect the manure and use that with
the end of season, all the green stuff that comes through a farm. But for the stems and the seeds and the skins, we actually make compost using that and the manure from the guinea hens. So we raise guinea hens and sheep and hens and all manner of things.
Yeah, we're surrounded by nature here and animals. It's the cycle of life in action here.
Yeah, well, it is. And the interesting thing for me is just how it really does fit and how it really does work. And you can see it. You can see it happening when you've got a hummingbird bouncing between, clearly bouncing between the vineyard and the pomegranates or the sage or the rosemary or so on that we have here. It hits home for people who don't have any contact with that sort of web of life as well. So when somebody comes here and they may have never understood really what the difference between Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel is, they can look also for other sort of edification. They can look at the difference between a regular spearmint and a mojito mint, or they can look at a Julia Child rose, or they can look at an ancient Metabolis rose, and they smell different and they look different, and it triggers different things as part of your sensual awareness. For some people, they may not have tapped into that for a while. And so the idea is, oh, let's come here and discover something. Drink, smell, enjoy, taste, you know, make those wines as feel as smooth or as crunchy as you want to by, you know, bring something here to eat so that you can figure it out that way. Hopefully something's been awakened here.
Yeah, and then you have the visual of the nature.
The visuals are here.
I talked with Julie Johnson for quite a while, and as you can tell, she's very thoughtful about how she runs her vineyard and winery. She was a founding member of Frog's Leap Winery back in the 80s, and now has her own winery, Trace Saboris Wines, in Napa Valley. Like Julie Johnson, wine grower Ulysses Vanderkamp also has animals around his property, but his enter the vineyard on their terms. And in keeping with today's topic, when Ulysses talks about his farming, he does so fervently.
By having biodiversity here, I attract a lot more life than I normally would if there was a monoculture. So we've got foxes coming in, coons, snakes, gophers, mice, everything. And we have a really organic and active nitrogen cycle here. I mean, there's turkeys, everything's going on, and they're truly importing, because this is like an oasis, they're importing nutrients all the time. This is why oftentimes that trees bear fruit, is to attract the birds that eat the fruit, and then they have their droppings underneath there and they fertilize the tree.
Animals problematic?
Well, Mother Nature's not always kind, but in a sort of a 10-year horizon, you know, Mother Nature is not kind at all, actually. I mean, it's full of peaks and valleys, but when you average it over a decade, it's, you know, it all works out. You know, it's just not always on your timeline.
Does that mean she knows what she's doing?
I don't know if she knows what she's doing, but Mother Nature always has a way of balancing out, you know? She definitely calls the shots, I'll say that.
Tell me about your relationship with the vine.
You know, I unfortunately have all day, every day to think about this. And the other day I was thinking, you know, you can't grow grapes for 30 years and not have an ideology. You know, maybe you haven't articulated it yet, but you've got it, you know, you're not just running on doing the same exact thing every year. I mean, you know, I like to think that I walk around with my eyes wide open, and I'm like a walking human computer here, and I'll make 1,000 observations subconsciously, you know. But lately, what I've been trying to do is really understand what my role is in the vineyard. Every great winemaker will tell you that their job is to get maximum expression of the site, you know, to really show off the terroir. And me as a grape grower, I know that I have a lot of influence, and I oftentimes tell people that I don't do anything 100% better than anybody else, but I do 100 things 1% better than everybody else. Now, that's not to say that there's an influence on everything that I think I'm influencing. Some things I really don't have the influence that I think I have. And my goal these days is really not to be a grape grower, but to nurture the grapevines. The grapevines, I want to create a grapevine that can grow itself. You know, I don't want to have to prop up a grapevine. So if it only gets 3 spurs or 1 cane or 1/2 a cane, that's fine by me. I want a grapevine that takes care of itself, and it's my job to nurture it. So going back to, you know, my philosophy as a grape grower, I'm thinking now there's two major components in grape growing. There's the nature of the site is a really important thing. And I think that a lot of people aren't around long enough to even understand the nature of a site. I know every nook and cranny and every fold here, and I know where the vine, how the vines respond and the swales and the areas with shallow roots. And, you know, I know every corner of the vineyard, and I'm not surprised any longer.
Ulysses of the Vanderkamp Family Vineyard on Sonoma Mountain in Sonoma Valley. Up the 101 freeway quite a bit in Hopland is the Topel Vineyard. Winery owner and assistant winemaker Mark Topel responds to my statement about their process.
We were talking earlier, too, about how your wine and even the land, from what I was reading about how you treat it, is much like a baby. You have to nurture it. You got to feed it properly.
I'll tell you that's absolutely correct. This is organic, and it's funny what's happened in the 25 years that we've been planting and growing. The idea of organic has come from being one that was kind of either looked on with amusement or disdain by big growers, to the realization that this is absolutely the way to go. You get better wine, you get longer lived vineyards with less disease if you just leave the vineyards alone. You don't plow them. So what we've discovered is you cut the grass or the ground cover and you let it just sit there so it keeps the ground cool. And then over the winter, it goes into the soil and the grapes are happy. And if you come back here in 3 months, if we have some water and bud break has happened and they're out about a foot and a half and you see the first setting grapes, you'll see they're happy. And you don't have to be an expert. You can look at a grape plant and know it's happy. And you can look at a grape plant and know it's stressed. If somebody stops and says, look at this, and you'll see this, you'll see the angle of the leaves to the stems. You'll see the curl, the way the leaves curl or don't curl. You'll see how healthy the bunch is. You can just see it. I mean, it's just like, you know, when you look at your pet, that your pet is healthy and happy and not sickly. And well, plants are the same way.
A lot of terms you hear often in these areas, especially the rural areas, you hear the term stewards of the land, those who appreciate and work with the land, much as the Native Americans did, especially in these areas that were inhabited by the Pomo Indians.
Right here.
And you and your wife have that same mentality.
Totally have it. We believe that we're blessed to be able to be here, that we're taking care of this land for whoever comes after us, and after us, and after us. And on our area, we have 160 acres here, and in the northwest corner, there was a Pomo settlement that was a fall settlement, acorn gathering settlement, and a hunting camp. And we still find arrowheads, sometimes the voles, the gophers in the ground dig up these flint napped arrowheads. Yeah. It's amazing to find it. It makes you feel like, my God, here we are, and somebody was here 4,000 or 5,000 years ago doing this.
He's Mark Topel of Topel Wines. You may be familiar with their tasting room in Healdsburg. You're listening to my year-end show featuring the passion, the thoughtfulness, and philosophical nature of many of those in the wine industry. No one knows more about being stewards of the land and having a deep appreciation for the land than the French, who have been growing grapes and making wine for centuries. In 2015, I talked with Jean-Charles Boisset of Boisset Family Estates, as he was chosen as honorary chair for the Sonoma Wine Country Weekend because of his many contributions to the industry. I was aware that his family have been biodynamic in Burgundy, France, since the mid-1990s.
Yes, indeed. We believe that great wines are made from great grapes, and great grapes are wonderful as long as we respect Mother Nature to the fullest. So we need to have Mother Nature, let Mother Nature be, and treat Mother Nature with Mother Nature. In other words, treat plants by plants, and using the lunar calendar and the relationship of the sun, the moon, and the earth together as a guiding principles to what we do in our farm or in our vineyards or in our personal garden. So we've started 20 years ago, not only being organically certified, but as well biodynamically certified. So we think the two together are very essential to provide an amazing elixir that is pure, that is, you know, the real representation of the earth, and that is going to last in time, which is very important. You want wine to last in your cellar for a long time.
Right.
And terroir-driven wines is certainly the foundation of the Burgundian growing region, and that's a belief you also continue here.
Absolutely, and often people ask me, you know, are you trying to make Burgundy wines in the Russian River? And I always say, no, we have an amazing self-expression in the Russian River that is truly your own. So why we're here, in fact, is we could do together a tasting now, which really brings Burgundy to the forefront and the Russian River to the forefront. For that matter, Jeff, you probably know we've created a wine as well, which is quite unique, named Number 3, which is the blend of two worlds. It's a blend of Burgundy and a blend of Russian River. You have the fruit, the, you know, bouquet and the expression of Russian River, but you have as well the terroir, the earthiness of Burgundy. So we love to keep the two worlds separate, and we feel it's very important that they complement each other.
As a winery and vineyard owner who revitalized Buena Vista Winery, the oldest commercial winery in California, I asked Jean-Charles if his appreciation for history stems from growing up across the road from the historic Clos du Vougeot, which was built by Cistercian monks in the 12th century. It had to have made quite an impact.
Yeah, Jeff, you're exactly right. This really came from my background, for sure. I mean, I was born looking at the Clos du Vougeot all my life. So you look at history, you feel history, but you learn a great deal from history. So it's important to reflect back. It's not only what we want to do in life, but as well what other people have done, and we want to honor that as well. So yes, it came from that. It came as well from my grandparents, who on both sides were school teachers, and really, you know, relentlessly repeating the wonderful things which happened in the past from the beginning of time to today. And I was very, you know, had the privilege to be raised in that environment with a deep respect of the past and the people who achieved a lot of great things before us. So it's a combination of those two.
His passion for the business and the craft of winemaking was further revealed when I asked him how he felt about being honored by the Sonoma County Vintners Association.
Oh, well, I'm honored myself, as a matter of fact, to be here in California. It's a privilege to make wine. It's a true honor to be able to give back the product of the earth to people who really love it, like yourself, and people who deeply appreciate it. And this is a gift of God. So I'm the one honored. It's not the reverse.
Jean-Charles Boisset of Boisset Family Estates, which owns Raymond Vineyards in Napa Valley, Deloche Vineyards in Russian River Valley, and Buena Vista Winery in Sonoma Valley. When someone refers to wine as the elixir of the gods, that suggests a higher power at work. One interview I thoroughly enjoyed was talking with winery owner George McLeod of McLeod Family Vineyard. George was about 96 years old when he passed away earlier this year. He still had a fire in his belly, shot from the hip, and had an amusing way of looking at the business, referring to his family as the association and Mother Nature as the board of directors. And he's convinced that there is magic going on in the vineyard.
There is magic going on here. There's huge magic in trying to understand how the grapes can be married to the terroir here and turn out like beautiful in the bottles like they are now. And you can talk to 100 people and they'll tell you there's some magic going on in the vineyard. And that's what we believe here. The terroir is what we're in effect married to, and each of these vineyards is different. If you look at Kendall Jackson, they've got a deluxe book in which they're talking about what goes on in the vineyard at night as the vines continue to do their thing. And that's what we think going on here.
And I like how you compared the vineyards. And I've heard this before, that they're kind of like your children, but there are many aspects of that because they do their own thing. Sometimes they don't listen. You're trying to figure them out over the years.
That is the case. You heard me. I can't even tell whether the buds are going to give me the two bunches they promised, or they're going to give me one bunch or no bunches. And that's all a function of how the terroir is related to the story of the vine. Because the vine doesn't care about you, Jeff. The vine cares about getting the seeds ripe for next year. And that's what's going on in their mind. So you just have to know that. So make sure that they have lots of resources to make that happen.
So sometimes they just don't listen, huh?
That's right. Sometimes they don't listen. And it's a huge surprise. You did everything right, and you don't get the grapes. And then the other thing is that one of the benefits of working here is that if you make a success this year or a failure this year, you get a new hand starting the 1st of January, to try again. You guys just screwed up? Here, try again. And on the other hand, your board of directors has one member of the board of directors, and that's Mother Nature, and she doesn't play by any rules. So she will throw out these cards, see how you guys can handle drought this year, see how you can handle high temperatures this year. And so that's what's going on out there. It's a battle between board members who don't pay attention, i.e. Mother Nature, and the grapes and George.
And you have to listen and learn and pay attention to what the grapes are saying.
Absolutely.
Or the vineyards are saying.
Absolutely, because I really believe that there is more to it than just these grapes, growing grapes out there, that there's a magic somehow or other between the terroir and the grower and the history of the ranch that you can't understand. But you cannot understand why these individual vineyards are different. The weather's the same, the soil is, you can measure it, but the grapes are different. So how do you account for that? And that's what I'm saying, is this magic issue of terroir.
The late George McLeod of McLeod Family Vineyard in Sonoma Valley. I'll miss my visits with him. But his family is still making exceptional wine. You can find them at McLeodFamilyVineyard.com. They spell the name M-A-C-L-E-O-D, FamilyVineyard.com. They're located in Sonoma Valley, just west of Kenwood. In speaking of magical places, I have to include Clouds Rest Vineyards. If you happen to be sitting in front of your computer, look up CloudsRest.com and click their photo page. You'll see the beautiful image of the sea of clouds that surrounds their vineyards as they sit perched above the fog line on Sonoma Mountain. Owner John Saman says it does feel like a magical place.
I feel it, and I have seen it, and I know it. I think it's really true. This area here was homesteaded 150 years ago, right across the way from us. The Indians lived right across the way over here. This is the head of the Adobe Creek headwaters is 500 yards from here. There's a steelhead trout run still there. We have wild turkey, every form of wildlife that you can imagine, except bear. I haven't seen one yet, but mountain lion, eagles, hawks, owls. Yeah. This is a paradise for California wildlife.
Sounds like heaven. Sounds like it looks like heaven, and we're not going to see the fog today because it's kind of a rainy day. But you say it looks like just a...
It does. It looks like you're looking out on heaven. I showed some pictures to you about how that actually looks. The way it came to be Clouds Rest is that long before there was a vineyard, a friend of mine made the observation of these clouds, and I said, gee, that's kind of interesting, and why do you call it that? And so in that conversation, it was that the clouds are actually made from angels' wings, and when the angels in the clouds go to sleep at night, they go to a retreat, and that this was where they come to rest. The clouds come in and nestle up against this hill, and that's where the term Clouds Rest came from, and it's held true.
No wonder it's so spiritual up here. I like your passion and even the emotion you have for life. You say you love life, and I like the way you describe the Pinot grapes as being kind of almost like a living entity as far as being lovely, like a butterfly.
I think that the expressions that I've used about Pinot Noir as a wine is that it's the, I know it's kind of like a story, but the vine and the grape, when they become wine, tell their feelings and emotions by the expression in the wine. And that was where I thought of the Pinot Noir wine as like a butterfly, something that is so beautiful that we always covet to keep in that moment, and we can't because it flies away or it has to change. So I think that Pinot Noir, when it gives you its soul, when it really produces itself in a way that says, I love you and here I am, this is a mystical kind of a relationship with a glass of beautiful wine, and it speaks to us all differently.
And I think it speaks louder when it's the single vineyard.
I personally agree with you completely. I think that it is much, I know for me, that it's more difficult to produce consistently a wonderful expression of your vineyard when you only have one crop from one vineyard, and in this case, it's all Pinot Noir, and that is the expression that we have. We cannot add to it or change it or do anything to it. We don't blend or acquire outside fruit. And when we do that with four different varietals, each one is unique to that particular site. it speaks volumes of the site itself. Each site has to be special for that varietal in order for that grape to consistently produce very high quality wine.
And that's what they're able to do year in and year out at Clouds Rest Vineyards, produce exceptional wine. And don't you just love owner John Saman's description of his Pinot Noir being like a butterfly? Good wine is certainly beautiful and fleeting. Ephemeral, isn't it? And if you go to cloudsrest.com, be sure to see the video, The Holy Grail of Wine documentary. You'll get an all-encompassing view and sense of the magic that occurs up there on Sonoma Mountain. I've really enjoyed listening to people express their feelings with me in interviews, and you really get a sense of how much they love the business and feel blessed to be part of it. I certainly do, being in the position to share their stories. One visit I really enjoyed was sitting with Delia and Janet Viadere. Their winery and tasting room are up on Howell Mountain with a stunning view of Napa Valley. The soft-spoken yet small and mighty Delia, an Argentinian immigrant, described her Viadere wine this way.
I don't believe the wine has to scream at you. I prefer wines that whisper. And in that sense, everything that I do is towards a style of wine that is in balance, in harmony. That means tannins, alcohol, acidity is something that to me is important, to be more seductive than, again, slapping you in the face with tannins or with alcohol. So mine is the wine that when you meet with another friend that you haven't seen in many, many years, you get involved in the conversation, have a great time, and all of a sudden, oops, the bottle is empty. And you haven't noticed, but you were having such a good time, and the wine was part of it. Perhaps a catalyst, perhaps not, but to me, it's very much the place of a fine wine to be more like background music. It provides the ambiance, but it doesn't become the center of things.
And it's a compliment to you, I guess, when that happens, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And we hear it a lot, that people said, you know, we took a bottle of your wine and we got to the first course and the bottle was empty already. and it's, that's enjoyment. That definitely, to me, is appreciation and means a lot to me, definitely.
Well, it sounds like you've attained that balance for sure, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, it's a strikingly beautiful view and winery that you have here, so I would suggest to my listeners to definitely come up and see Viadere Winery.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, people always rave about our views, but then they're like, your wines, though, are spectacular. And so that's really what we're looking for is, you know, we want to give an all-around experience. It's a beautiful setting. We work hard to put those wines in the bottle and are always looking for new people to appreciate that.
And speaking of appreciation, what's this I hear about Drew Bledsoe being a fan of your wine? Is that true?
Yeah, that was funny. That was something I saw the other day that they were referring to in an article of what got people motivated to be in the wine industry. And so he's a specific, he's a winemaker in Walla Walla, but he said his epiphany wine was Viadere, a bottle of one of our 90s vintages. So, and I've actually heard that from a few people that our wine was like the tipping point of, you know, I really need to get into this industry. There's so much more to it than just being a consumer. And so that's completely and totally flattering that our wine would have that effect and to cause a life change.
Manfred Krankel also said the same thing. You know, if I ever get into the wine business, this was more than 20 years ago, I would like to make a wine like yours. Wow. And actually he's made fantastic wines. There are his, but
you don't get a commission on that, then, do you?
I don't get a commission on that. No, not at all. But we've heard it over the years, a lot of people just mentioning. The latest was my importer in Korea in 2001 that loved the wine so much that decided to come to California, buy a winery, and start all over from scratch. And there was Dana Sellers. So
you are inspiring then, aren't you?
Well, I do. I think that there's a wonderful passion about making wine at this level, and I think perhaps it's contagious, and that's what happens. People get the passion that there is behind it, and they find it appealing. So why not?
That's Delia and Janet Viadere of Viadere Vineyards and Winery up on Howell Mountain. Find them online at viader.com. The winemaker Manfred Krankel Delia referred to makes a cult wine at the little-known but highly respected Sinequanon Winery. One guy I had the pleasure to spend time with was Gary Breen of Campo Vida in Hopland. Gary is a builder by trade and saw the potential of this expansive property that was once owned by the Fetzers. So with his wife Anna and their two kids, they moved up to create this stunning retreat just outside of town. It's perfect for wedding or corporate events with rooms for overnight stays, a full kitchen, an organic farm, wildlife, and a swimming pool surrounded by palm trees. It's a one-of-a-kind place that touches the soul. Gary and I walked throughout the property, and I enjoyed his enthusiasm as he talked about the place. Oh, and the wine. They bottle a great variety of it.
The Rhones do super well here in southern Mendocino. I mean, Grenache, Syrah, Viognier does amazing, Roussan, Marsan. We're really, really sound at a lot of Rhones, which is great. And also Italian. I mean, we do, the Sangiovese does amazing here. The Italian Arnais does great. Cortese. We're going to do some plantings of probably my favorite wine is Vermentino.
Wow.
So this plot over here to the left used to be in Chardonnay back in the Fetzer years, and they pulled this out because it had Phylloxera. Yeah. So we've kind of purposely left this fallow just to figure out exactly what we were going to do. And at first we were going to do some Grenache Blanc because this property here is really, all old riverbed. So it's really gravelly, lots of rocks, lots of sand. So it really does well in the Rhone or Italian whites.
Right. And then right there, you have your swimming pool that's surrounded by some tall palm trees. That's a lovely sight.
Yeah, we like to say it's just an amazing summer afternoon where you can go out by the pool, surrounded by vineyards and no people, and the wind, the breeze picks up and you kind of close your eyes and you feel like you're in either Mexico or Hawaii in the middle of Mendocino. So
without the sound of the surf.
Exactly. I think it's one of the things you look out here and you say, God, what's so stunning about this is just, you know, there's just so much. I mean, these oak trees, I mean, those aren't the oldest ones, of course, but some in the front, and there's some over in my property that are over 600 years old. So it's just a place of, you know, history from both nature and trees and what people have done. So you look around here, it's really hard to start cutting anything and tearing anything up. You're
right,
like,
right.
This would be, you'd be ashamed.
It was a December day when Gary and I met up, and as we entered the garden, even at that time of year, there were wonderful aromas emanating from that rich organic garden.
This whole place was started as a organic garden of food by Michael Maltus. He's kind of really well known in the apple world because there's 89 varieties of apples here in this garden. So he was he was a crazy apple guy. He loved.
I was going to say this place is big, but I didn't realize it was that big.
Well, it's two rows, but there's a whole bunch of varieties. So this ranch has been organic for 20 years, and it goes really well with the organic component of the garden. So we're into the food, wine, food to table, farm to table.
Well, why not? It's all right here.
Yeah, well, we have plenty of it. So we are in this interesting spot that, I mean, we were blessed with this place. So the challenge in this is that you really have to make it part of your wine and your food program, and really need to tie it in well, because it's not a farm. It's not a giant production. It's not a giant production farm.
Yeah, this is a good lifestyle you got going here.
Well, it is a great lifestyle. I tell you, I my wife and I lived in Oakland, and we loved it. Two little kids, and we decided, let's go try this winery, farm thing, and
retreat, resort.
No, it's been the best thing that's ever happened to us, but it's also the hardest thing. I mean, this thing is a big place, and it's, I feel like this place is speaking out. This place is saying, like, you got to do something from the land. You got to make something, you know, and so I think that's kind of our thing, is we see this great place and we want people to come. I mean, we want people to come and visit and see and stay. And so,
well, much success to you here. And I would say you're going to have a greater success, but I know you want to keep it manageable.
Yeah. I mean, we're in our third year. I mean, we bought the place in 2010, but anybody that wants to be nowadays farm, wedding, wine country, that's from New York or LA or anywhere. I mean, it's one of the four stops in all of Napa, Sonoma, and now this, because once you kind of look at it, I think what's really interesting, what we've come to realize, is it's not, the distance is not a big deal anymore, because with the infrastructure improvements from San Francisco to here, at the right time of the day, you can drive from the Golden Gate Bridge to here in an hour and a half. And you can't get to Calistoga in an hour and a half. We're 20 minutes from Healdsburg. We're 10 minutes from Cloverdale. The thing I like to say is you need to come here to Hopland or Mendocino County on a any night that has no moon. And because of where we're at, there's just no ambient light. So here, I mean, you sit here in the pitch dark, and the Milky Way stands out like no place you've ever seen it.
I bet.
It's just stunning. So it's just for people that really want to
decompress
and just come out and see, like, it's perfect for that. You know, you don't get that in other places now.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have a room available? Because we're not leaving.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, we got 11.
The place is quite spectacular. See it for yourself online at campovida.com, then see it in person. They also own a tasting room in Oakland, if that's closer, for the opportunity to try their exceptional wine. The Taste of Place at Oakland. It's a rustic tasting room near the port of Oakland. I have one more response I'd like to share. As I was wrapping up my interview with longtime Kendall Jackson and Jackson Family Wines wine master Randy Ullum, he mentioned his thoughts on the one topic the others didn't touch upon, the people of the wine and food and beverage industry.
It's always fun to, you know, let people know a little bit more about the wine world and what goes on and how people got started. And it's just everybody in the wine business and the food business and the restaurant business, everybody's so kind and wonderful and always happy for some reason.
I wonder why that is. Yeah, I tell you, I have the joy doing this job and talking with people, and all of you are all very approachable, and I love sharing your stories because they're all so unique.
All unique, and everybody in the you know, basically the wine business, be it the grape side or the wine side, are very down-to-earth people, salt of the earth, and that's what it takes.
He, too, is just what he described, a very pleasant, friendly man, Randy Ullum. You can see his photo and learn more about the many wines that he oversees at kj.com. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I sure hope you got a true sense of the passion that runs rampant in the wine industry. When you get a chance, try to meet the winery owners, the winemakers, and growers, and you'll see, as I have, they're all very easy to talk with, and they love to share the passion for what they do. It somehow makes the wine taste that much better. Happy holidays and New Year to you all, and please join me for more adventures on the wine road in 2019. I'm Jeff Davis. Cheers.